Okay, you can slowly, mindfully come out your meditation. Yeah? Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the meditative mind state that one need to retain. After your formal meditation, you will develop some form of ability to relax, then allowing the mind to settle down. And this is a free mind settling down, which is not easy to do. But if you understand, it's not difficult. The difference between a free mind settling down and developing the tranquility, stillness, and calmness is very different from the one that is using method, technique, and object of meditation to focus and concentrate. That one is relatively easy, but the free mind settle down until without thought, that is the real meditation. If you develop this awareness meditation, you can be in that state, free mind. Can be active in life, moving around, doing whatever you want without thought. You don't have to be in a state of conditioned mind state. So most people, they find it only possible when they are having this object of meditation to support them. Like in the early day, I shared with you all when I was in the uni, my anapanasati was very strong, very stable. Then when I'm in anapanasati, my mindfulness is very strong, very stable. But later on, when I release it out and revert to daily mindfulness, I share with you, I realize I can hardly even maintain 5 minutes of mindfulness in a day. Because without the anapanasati, not easy. Yeah, anapanasati at least it make me able to develop the mindfulness by anchoring it to my breath. But when I release it out, it become a free mind. I find it very difficult because the thought, split second, gone. Split second, gone. You don't believe me? You try in your daily life. After you come out of the formal meditation, you try to maintain your mindfulness, your awareness. Impossible. You may determine to be aware of the heart area, you try. Split second, the thought will take you away. Yeah. Then very fast, you are already distracted, gone. But if you are patient, determined with the faith, you continue to develop the daily mindfulness. Everything you do away. Then with the formal meditation, let the mind settle down until mind enters the deep. And then suddenly your mind become different. And that one is the real one. That one after that, your free mind is in the deep. No thought, nothing. You need to arise a thought, you can. You don't need to, it's just quiet, silent. Then when you're in that state, your awareness is so different. You can just silence everything within the environment. Whatever activity, movement, or phenomena you want to know, you can know. That's why sometimes I may be sharing with you the Dhamma and all those things. But my awareness nature is there. So all of your movement, activity, or if I want to know, I can know. Otherwise, I just within the awareness, aware. All of your movement. Actually, you all develop a lot of movement without you knowing. Yeah, most of them find it very difficult to sit still. But normal. Human being is a gregarious being, and every time on the move, active. Yeah, but at least nowadays you have your house, your home. In the olden day, they are nomads. You know what is nomad? Move around. They don't have a permanent dwelling or place where they stay put. They move around to look for food, to maybe hunt for food and all those things. Okay, so with this, maybe we will open up. Do you have any question or anything you want to know about how the meditation is to be done? You can ask now. Make full use of this 5-10 minutes. Anybody? You can report your meditation also. Sister Song? Want to ask anything or not? Can you meditate? Ah, good, sadhu. You can relax. Today I was more happy because I heard a lot of snoring. More people can relax. But towards the end, they tell me, in front of you, Jin Hao, Lao, but good, yeah, he tired, he snore. Then after that, he aware. Last time he snore, cannot aware, on so at least, when you can really, no need to be shy, when you relax, when you cannot maintain awareness, tired initially, you snore, you sleep. What's wrong with relaxing sleep? Better than you sitting there, they not move, torturing yourself or nothing. Or fighting inside there. So relax, then rest. Then after that, the awareness, you become aware again, maintain awareness. Then not long, one by one, quietly. That is what meditation is. But please, don't everybody take turn to snorkeling. Then the monk will come out and say, what the hell are you doing here? But you won't, I tell you. Once you develop the skill, you understand. The way you rest is very different. You conserve a lot of energy. And when mindfulness comes, your life becomes different. You become very beautiful. I remember in the early day after 1989, after that thing happened. I was the form and mind physically. I was like a perfect human being. The pure energy like healed me out, then recuperate me, and everything I experienced that time was so beautiful. The energy I used to give people is, your drive car, you know, if your car is not properly tuned, you know, the engine sound, and then very loud, and a lot of exhaust and all those things. The black fume is not complete combustion. But when you send it to the mechanic who is very good, who service it very well, maybe they do some overhaul, then the engine becomes very smooth. Smooth until the tuning is so fine. The sound like nowadays EV car, you know, hybrid and EV car. After you start the car, sometimes you think your car haven't started. No sound. The body was like tuned until the vibration is so fine, like no vibration, like. I was so still, and the body you can know. Wow, first time, perfect health, 100%, no problem at all. And the pure energy engulfed my whole body. So during that time, when I need to rest, 5-10 minutes, the rest is very, very effective. Then I become fresh again. Then I can go about doing my thing again. But later on, as age catches up, because 89 until now, how many years already? 34 years already. The body is still a body. You cannot like try to be special or what. No point. This will go the way of nature. Then because when I develop this awareness-based meditation, I don't do absorption meditation, apana. When I do absorption, apana, my physical body, like, very difficult to age on. I remember that time I was still young, even at the age of 35 at that time, after I got here. I was actually working in the university. So when I was there, I was the head and property and development and maintenance, head of development maintenance of the property division of the whole university. That time when they saw me, I was like a student at that time. Really, like a student, 21, 22 years old. Because the face cannot age. But later on, after I gave up that absorption meditation, the continuous mindfulness and all those things, then I start to go into daily mindfulness. And daily mindfulness is very beautiful when it comes. You experience a lot of things, you become sensitive, you become alert, you learn a lot of things, wisdom, everything starts to arise. It's so different from the state of the absorption meditation or continuous mindfulness. Then later on I realized the pure energy starts to develop inside me, the yin and yang melt through the gateway. Then my Monday mind collapsed. Then that time I felt a lot of energy, the pure energy going into my body and doing all the transformation. That's why after that, a lot of things, my brain, my physical, everything start to transform. They call it the nadis. Chakra are the main nerve centers. The nadi are the minor nerve centers. So all this starts to transform and become different. Is it 10 o'clock already? Ah, good. So now, no more story, eh? We start our Dharma sharing, okay? Tammy, can you continue? Eh?
Page 36, Sixth Heart Sutra Class, Part 1. Heart Sutra Lesson 6, Introduction 3, page 22 to 24 of Master Xuanhua's Commentary 1.1. Opening Commentary on the Heart of Prajna Paramita Sutra. The Heart of Prajna Paramita Sutra, with verse without a stand and prose commentary, consists of three parts. 1. The sutra text itself. 2. The Venerable Master Xuanhua's verse explanation. And 3. Master's lectured commentary on the text and verses. This Heart Sutra is an essential commentary of the Mahayana essential summary of the Mahayana Buddhism teaching on the true emptiness. The Heart Sutra is nothing less than a summation of the wisdom of the Buddha. It distills perfectly the teaching of non-attachment, which is the doctrine of emptiness. As the Venerable Master Xuanhua says in his commentary, only the most advanced of masters can expect to grasp the full importance of the sutra by itself without the aid of a teacher. Because this teaching is the heart in the heart within the heart.
So this sentence, pay attention to it, because it's not easy to actually comprehend the Heart Sutta. But this Heart Sutta is a very unique perfection of wisdom teaching, actually realized by Avalokiteshvara or Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. That's why it became so famous in those few sentences, consists of, I forgot how many words already. The whole understanding is there and it's so beautiful, so profound. So here Xuan Hua summarized. He said, the Heart Sutta is an essential summary of Mahayana Buddhism's teaching on true emptiness, Zen Kong. Then Heart Sutta is nothing less than a summation of the wisdom of what the Buddha had realized. This Heart Sutta also distilled perfectly the teachings of non-attachment, which is the doctrine of emptiness. So when you penetrate and realize emptiness, you cannot grasp, cannot cling, cannot hold, cannot do all those things. So the question is, when you have the wisdom, the understanding, you cannot grasp, you cannot cling, you cannot hold, is there a need for that being to practice letting go? Yeah? That is, Chi Wei asked me this question about letting go. He heard from, I think, must be monks or what, practice letting go. Is there such a practice? Yeah? Of course, a lot of people tell you, let go lah. Hey, practice letting go lah. But you never inquire. You're gullible. You say, yeah lah, reasonable lah. You, I attach, I suffer, isn't it? Correct lah. True or not? Ah, respond lah. If I attach, I hold, I suffer. So, what must I do not to suffer? Practice. Ha, let go lah, don't want to hold. But you never find out, you become gullible. Oh, logical. Logical doesn't mean it's the truth, no. It's always the opposite. No. Who practice letting go? Just I already told you, when you have this wisdom of prajna, paramita, true emptiness, you will not attach, you will not cling. A person who already see the danger, don't attach, don't cling, don't hold, does he need to practice letting go? No need, isn't it? Then who practice letting go? The one don't have the wisdom, not enlightened yet, practice letting go. You think he can let go? Or she can let go? No way, understand now. Without wisdom, you cannot let go. You can verbalize. Yeah, don't want to attach lah. Then they say, aiya, don't listen to what they say lah. Otherwise you miserable one lah. You think that guy going through all this can just ignore what was told about him or all the abuses that he received? Can't. That's why there is no such practice. People who cannot understand, want to practice something that they are not able to do. So what happened is, when they say let go means, they actually develop the suppression of it. They don't want to have anything to do with it. Then they will say, "Ayo, no point, my life, a lot of suffering. My children don't have filial piety. They got a lot of knowledge, views, opinion, thought process and conditioning to justify. Then they remain angry. Then they say, okay, ignore them. Ignore is what? Not wisdom, no. Means, just like there are certain religions. They say it's easy to forgive, but cannot forget. You realize the contradiction or not? I can forgive you. You ask for forgiveness, I forgive you. But I cannot forget what you did to me. Is that forgiveness? So this one is the same. Let go lah. Aiyah, okay lah. Don't want to have anything to do, you know. But inside still bosong, full of aversion, agitation. Then you know what happened? Anytime got condition, that thing trigger already. This ekatole called pain body. Because when that thing arises, the pain body will respond. Then you feel the anger, the hatred, the fear, the envy, the jealousy. We are not rooted out, understand? Kuan bei kui. But verbally they say, aiya, sui xiao la, sui xiao la. Over already la, kui liao. But the next day, somebody mentioned something, wah, again, bosong. Then you realize a lot of old people, especially our parents' generation, they tell you the same old story, you know. Like my mother-in-law, they tell you how difficult they suffer. You know. 9 years old, the parent passed away, the mother passed away, then she got to struggle. And keep on repeating, you know, this one. Then every time he got problem, like try to convince the children, he will bring up all this. So why are they so conditioned and hold on to this past memory of the suffering, the misery, the remorse and all those things? And this is what the brain, when you accumulate, create. That's why in Mahayana, the second noble truth is not the cause of arising or suffering. You know what the second noble truth is in Mandarin, Mahayana? Ku qi mie dao. The second noble truth, they use another word, they say accumulation. Accumulation is suffering. They are right, they are not wrong. When you accumulate all this fear, phobia, insecurity, all your whatever past abuses or whatever, every time there is condition for you to recall or you see something that trigger of the memory, that negativity of mind state straight away surface. So this is how you suffer. You become unhappy. You become like panic. The phobia start again. So, because this may be childhood abuses that you experience. Then sometimes university student very often, after they graduate, work very long, and they still dream they haven't passed the exam. Very often. So these are the phobia when you go through the education system. You may be a very good student, first class honors or whatever. But that thing follow you on. Because the fear of failing the exam is so intense. Because you can get kicked out. Then they say what? Bobina, no face to face your parent or your whatever education, scholarship or loan also withdrawn. So that fear intensify, it's not a reality yet, but the probability of it, even very small, created that fear. So that fear become a phobia over time, you every time hold it inside your subconscious. So this is how accumulation build up all this negative tendency, phobia, fear, insecurity, everything. Then sometimes panic attack and all those things. So mental problem, depression, and all the other mind-related sickness, means a lot of mental suffering. They come about through lack of wisdom, attachment, clinging, grasping. Because you cannot see the universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, anatta. You cannot realize that this form of mind is not you, the anatta nature, not a permanent unchanging entity. But to realize emptiness is much, much more deeper than just understanding that this is not you, sakkaya ditti. Sakkaya ditti is just self-delusion, understand? The initial ability to break free from that self-delusion, then you don't have the ego, the an entity, to believe that this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be, so that delusion no more. But then when you face the other first noble truth reality, you still cannot act now. Like when there is separation and all those things, you still cannot act now. But to you, it's still very real, understand? Your wife, your children, your parents, your loved ones, your good friend or whatever. All this like still can affect you. That's why to break free from all this, like I shared the other day, the 5 aggregate, the Buddha already summarized, in short, is due to your sakkaya ditti that grasps and clings onto this 5 aggregate of form and mind that I say dukkha. But to break free beyond sakkaya ditti, you know what Kuan Yin did? He went into the awareness-based meditation and he, through the direct seeing, illuminated into the 5 aggregate of form and mind. What did Kuan Yin Bodhisattva realize? The 5 aggregate of form and mind is?
Empty.
Then you realize, empty means what? No reality. Bo min kiyama. But doesn't mean nothingness, no? You understand? No? Empty means empty nature or existence, no? You do also like that, you don't do also like that. You understand, no? Well, everything you do, the result of it is what? Nature's law. You may accord with law of karma, then apply some action. But all these are phenomena within the world, understand? Coming and going, coming and going. So effectively, he know you, he know me. So who is doing anything? Everything is not the way you think. No reality that, I was born. I mean, we cannot deny that each and every one of us, we were born through our mother's womb. Maybe some special, no need to come from mother's womb, I don't know. Then, as you grow up, live life, let's say my case, or your case, almost 70 years already. You cannot deny you live for 70 years and this phase of life really happened. But I ask you one question. Is there any reality? Any reality at all? You cannot deny. You can only recall to memory that you exist, understand now? That's why I like the Mandarin song, Wang Si Zi Neng Hui Wei. Whatever is past, gone already, no more reality. Then who are you? What are you? Every moment, every phase of that 69 to 70 years, which one is you? Since the small baby until now, my face is different. When I was 30 something different again. Then this one, everything I do, you think I share the mind, everything, it will only remain as one. Maybe the website exists, then people read about it, they say, there was a brother deal. Well, who the hell is this brother deal? Nobody knows. Then after many years, you think you will be remembered? Maybe history book will write about those famous ones, like Hitler or those things. the emperor and all that. But then, after that, the civilization may be white wall. Then a new civilization. Then what happened to all the things? Even they are around, the civilization not white wall, you can only recall to memory. So how real can it be? Memory is what the mundane mind is. That's why it's just a phenomenal world of consciousness and form within the phenomenal world. So when you can illuminate and see this and awaken, then you realize true emptiness. In true emptiness, you realize the unconditioned Dhamma. He know you, he know me. No mark of a self-cultivating, no mark of others, no mark of life, no mark of Dhamma, no mark of existence. That's why the Heart Sutta says, four noble truths also don't have. Old age, sickness and death doesn't exist within the true emptiness and unconditioned world. So all this understanding is wisdom that can be realized when you have the awareness-based meditation to penetrate all this. So awareness can illuminate and awaken. And when you realize true emptiness, you not only not deluded by the concept of a self, sakayadity, but you can handle everything. You will not give any meaning. Like I used to tell you, there were certain period after 1989, I was like just walking around, and suddenly the awareness stopped. Then inside there, at the nature there, the heart there, I cannot find anything. Like the egoic mind totally missing, the entity totally missing, like completely nothing. Then with that realization, you can just understand, even now this form and mind disperse, or you call Daya, no problem. I will not have a thought to worry, oh, my children, my wife, I haven't do my will, I haven't sought out things. Don't have such thing. Whether I exist or I don't exist, don't make a difference to what nature is. We are all of us. You think you are real? Huh? Are you real? If you say you are real, then I ask you the next question. Since the beginning of time until now, how many rebirth or birth have you taken? Countless, isn't it? Maybe no need to say countless. 1 billion. Every life you count one segment, sometime born as human, happy, deva, happy. Then when I say you're born as animal, hejak kau silu, how you feel? The animal is you, that monkey is you. Then you ask yourself, so many of these birds, the 31 plane, the other plane not so bad, the four woeful state one are more difficult to accept. Then you ask yourself, which one is you? 1 billion of this birth. You mean all that billion you are. And who are you? All this, that's why we say, La ye kong, qi ye kong, he bi ku ku si zu wei kong liu lei. You are born into this world, you come empty. When you die, you pass away also empty. Well, physically, you cannot take anything away. You cannot bring anything. Then, in between, why do you grieve, suffer over emptiness? So the meaning is, empty nature existence means existence exists. Life exists. Everything that people experience, moment to moment exists. But the reality is, all these are impermanent. They will come to pass. The moment is past, dead and gone, no more reality, finished. That's why the teaching in the Mahayana teaching, the three period of time, they are not a reality. So past is already gone, no more reality. Future yet to come, also no more reality. Then they realize the present moment is at least as real as it is. But how stable is the present moment? Split second is gone in there. Now I talk about it, the next moment is gone. And that is the only reality within life, existence. Then how real can life be? The only present moment which is the highest in life and the only reality in life is transient. Split second is gone, split second is gone, split second is gone. And that is the only reality in life. No? So I always teach Kayamita the contemplate and ask this question. Moment to moment life passes by. This is the only reality. What are you doing? You ask yourself. What are you doing? Without mindfulness, you realize living beings are too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life. True or not? Most of the time, you think a lot, complain about life. Then become miserable over life. Then they crave for this, crave for that, they fight, argue, conflict, everything. That's why you see war everywhere. Then the result of it is the Panchayaniyama create what they call nature's disaster. Now you got climatic change, you got what they call pollution, creating havoc for humanity. Because the consciousness has become so evil, and so polluted, and so much of these evil roots within. So when you understand all this, then your wisdom will transform you. You will not be like gullible anymore. If it's all empty, then why you want to create mental suffering and all this conflict, misery? Towards the end, there is no reality. Yeah. But don't get me wrong. If Brother Teo say everything not real, whatever I want to do, I do first. You go and enjoy life and do all the funny things. Then after that, I say, Brother Teo say not real. Then my classmate told me, not real. Money give me. Correct or not? Because you say not real. Don't be gullible until that extent. When I say not real, means empty nature existence, means ultimately no reality. Because even you keep your money or whatever, with your last breath, your identity erased, you don't own anything. Your so-called money also, maybe it become inheritance. And that one lucky lah, because you have a will or it really go down the inheritance. But sometimes you make a mistake. Certain religion, you go into that religion, it cannot go to your children or your whatever to inheritance. It go into what they call. So because of what you did, or sometimes because you forgot about it, you didn't leave behind anything. Then when your breath stop, you no more erase. Then people don't know you have left behind all those things. So what happened? Again, no different. Well, I realize now a lot of family, my generation, my parents got a lot of brother and sister. So we all got a lot of niece, nephew, everything. So we all don't have problem. But later on, two kids, one kid, maximum three or four. Then sometimes, not married, no kid. So what happened? You leave behind your asset, your property. Then your children don't have children. Then how they pass on? Understand? Then sometimes, the children went overseas and study. I saw a lot. With their shop lot all empty. Well, the children don't want. Understand? Then whatever they had, there was one lady, I remember, he got a lot of share, maybe near to a million. He came and plead with me to open an account. I said, can, but you have to do something. She said, but dear, I'm so old already. She's older than me. She said, I got a daughter, one daughter only, in Singapore. Ask her to come back and look at all this. The daughter got no time. Not interested at all. Well, to them it's ringgit or 3.4 or 3.5. Even your 1 million or 200 or and the hassle of coming back and go and find out all these things. Actually, they prefer just, don't worry. They are self-sufficient. They can take care of themselves. So, there are a lot of that one. So, the other saying is, you heard before. After you die, you believe you go to heaven. So, the saying is, 人在天堂,钱在银行. Your money is still in the bank. So, make full use of whatever that you have through the Dhamma way, through an understanding. So, the Buddha advice is very simple, is it? There are four types of happiness as a lay person you can realize or enjoy. The first happiness is what? Huh? Happiness of what? Possession, understand not? Possession, able to earn the money yourself, able to have all this possession, okay? So that one is the first type of happiness. I remember when I have my first job, the first package of salary, I'm full of joy, understand not? Yeah, I earn it myself. Then after that, the second type of happiness is what? Huh? Ability to make use of this wealth, huh? Or this thing that you possess or own for the benefit of what? You, your loved one, and the many. Understand not? Then there is joy. That's why you can provide for your family, their needs, or whatever, yeah? For their comfort and other things. Then you can make offering, donation, then help people. That's why use it for the benefit of yourself, your children, your relative, and people who has affinity with you. Then the third type of happiness is, nowadays I think you no need to follow 100%, be debt-free, he say. Pay off your debt, understand? Now all will go for mortgage loan, don't worry, understand? A lot of people, they learn the Dhamma, they become panicky, you know. It's a very deal. The Buddha said, third type of joy, pay off all your debt, or be debt free. You know. How I got housing loan, I got car loan, I got my children's mortgage loan. I said, you have the money, you pay. He said, cannot, I pay. I don't have cash around. So they worry about this. What is your understanding? If you can afford the installment, if it's a collateral to the bank, that type of debt is not a what they call threatening or life-threatening or serious debt. But if borrow tai long, I better tell you to pay immediately. You know, the interest they calculate is by day one, not by month or year one. That type of mortgage, the bank one, how many percent fixed already? The installment you can pay, so why you worry? So when you understand this, you won't be rigid. Otherwise they say, hey, if I got debt, means I don't have the third type of happiness. Where got such thing? If we can have a loan, mortgage loan, to own a house, it's a joyful thing. Then your salary or your income can afford to pay the installment. Then nowadays we got book, Robert Kiyosaki. He said, if you can buy the asset, the property, rent it out or lease it out and get monthly cash flow, that can pay off the installment, the mortgage installment, means You are buying that property with the down payment only, it costs you 10 or 20% only. Then that one is positive cash flow. You can buy as many as you like. And these are the understanding that has evolved. So we don't be so gullible and rigid about things. Then this morning, when somebody asked me, say, Brad Teo, if we all buy Lala, you know a Lala, yeah? Lala normally a live one, then we fry the Lala, how? I said, take care of your cultivation, brother. Your greed, hatred, and delusion also not rooted up. You want to go to that extent. So if you are so concerned, maybe avoid doing all this. For me, it's nothing. Because I saw my mother, yeah, go to market during the early days, the 60s and the 70s. She will buy, then come back, fry. Then we eat, understand? That time I don't know the Dhamma. We eat. But after I know the Dhamma, do you think I'm supposed to stop her? You can't, understand? Because they are lying. They decide. And all these are not serious, understand? Like that mortgage loan. It's not serious, not tai long tai or loan. Not go and murder people, kill people, torment people, create war. These are minor things, understand? Then the other one is, I remember there was an incident, I think one of the retreats. The Kayamita asked me, Virtual, I got problem. I said, why? He said, my father-in-law like to order the fish, still alive one, though. Not alive one, fresh one, he don't want one. Yao sui, they say, yao sui. Say, so how, brother? I said, what you do? He said, I refuse to order for him. Your father-in-law, you refuse. You created a scene and misunderstanding for nothing. Why do you want to make life? You respect him for what he is, understand? But you don't be cunning and shrewd until I don't order, I ask my husband to order, or ask somebody, the karma go to him. You like that thing, I tell you, you are not a cultivator really. Understand? That's why I hinted to her, I said, if people willing to cook for you, do this livelihood, then you order, understand? Because it is what your father-in-law wants. Then sometimes for us, how much can we consume once a while? So if there is condition, you want to eat, don't create a taboo out of it and fear for all these things. Cultivation is understanding. When you understand, everything can be understood. No need to hold on to all these like rites and ritual, the fear, the worry, the tradition. Oh, traditions they cannot do, cannot step on the Mun Kuang. Then New Year must what day open business. You think all this feng shui everything? Please don't report me, don't quote me. Otherwise the feng shui master will come after me. Because feng shui has its own science and whatever. But you already know the teaching is the five daily contemplation. What did the Buddha say? The fifth daily contemplation. You are born of your karma, add your karma conditions, whatever. You are what you are because of karma. You don't take care of karma, you go and take care of all the feng shui and all those things. You think your life will change? Will change, understand? Feng shui is man and nature must harmonize, understand? So if you understand the geometric formation and all this movement of energy and what, then you know how to tap the good chi and what. Then it is like you use this understanding to help you avoid all those negative chi and all those things. But all the chi is a movement in a state of flux. That's why the feng shui people also tell you which cycle of the year, your feng shui also will change, will shift, understand? Then a lot of things, civilization also rise and fall, you can see. So all this is temporary, understand? And it forms a very minute aspect of your life. Because it's like you have good merits, means spiritual money, your account got money. So you have good feng shui, you avoid the bad feng shui, means you avoid drawing all the negative karma result. But you keep on using your good karma, the spiritual wealth. Sooner or later, spiritual wealth gone. You think there will be no conditions for you to experience the negative? The feng shui won't help you forever. That's not all. And most of the time, feng shui, like Sui An used to tell me, that joke, you remember? The feng shui master, he himself want to die also, he don't know. Took a very wealthy before to go. Then stand at the place, don't know, landslide or quick die.
Within a minute, he was buried.
Within a minute, he was buried. So, you believe. So, I got a classmate, he is Cantonese, he said. He said, at least feng shui low, ngak lei pat in sub lin. He said, understand now. Well, they had to tell you a story, please don't get me wrong, don't go and say what you say, and then the folks say, no, after me. It's not like that. Some are really good, some they know, they can help you. Of course, you believe in this, you can go ahead. But the main thing is take care of karma. Yeah. So all this, when you understand, you are not gullible, okay? Okay, I have to move on to this. Okay, continue, Tammy. Yes.
Brother Teo also concurs with Master Xuan Hua's statement and also said, Dharma must be delivered from the heart spontaneously and not through any prior planning via memory. Otherwise, it is only knowledge and not wisdom.
So this one, I have told you all before, so now it's all in the printed form, no need to make notes. Then the other part up there before this, Xuan Hua also mentioned, he said in his commentary, only the most advanced of master can expect to grasp the full importance of the Heart Sutta by itself without the aid of a teacher. This statement is very true, I can tell you. The Heart Sutta is not an easy sutta to grasp. And because of that, he said, the teaching is the heart in the heart within the heart, means the essence, the core, Prajna Paramita Sutta. So this is really something, if you understand, then you encounter somebody who can teach you the Heart Sutta, explain to you the Heart Sutta, you should actually have a lot of gratitude, joy, and respect. And when you hear this type of teaching, it will bring forth causes and conditions for you to progress along the path of Dhamma from now on into the distant future. But these teachings are very difficult to come by. Go on, tell me.
The important criteria for translating the heart of Prajna Paramita Sutra as adopted by Master Xuan Hua are the
This one, you all go back and read yourself. We no need to waste time. Because if you want to do the translation, you have to be very sincere. So these are the guidelines that Master Xuan Hua has given them. You move on to part 2.
Part 2 Meditation 2.1 Angulimala Sutta MN86 translated from the Pali text by Thanissaro Bhikkhu. Thus have I heard that on one occasion the Blessed One was staying near Savati at Jeta Grove, Anathapindika's monastery, and at that time in King Pasanadi's reign, there was a bandit named Angulimala. Brutal, bloody-handed, devoted to killing and slaying, showing no mercy to living beings. He turned villages into non-villages, towns into non-towns, settled countryside into unsettled countryside, Having repeatedly killed human beings, he wore a garland, mala, made of fingers, anguli. Then the Blessed One, early in the morning, having put on his robes and carrying his outer robe and bow, went into Savatthi for alms. Having wandered for alms in Savatthi and returning from his alms round after his meal, he set his lodging in order. Carrying his robes and bow, he ran along the road to where Angulimala was staying. Cowherd, shepherds, and farmers saw him going along the road to where Angulimala was staying, and on seeing him, said to him, "Don't go along that road, contemplative, for on that road is Angulimala, brutal, bloody-handed, devoted to killing and slaying, showing no mercy to living beings. He has turned villages into non-villages, town into non-town, settled countryside into unsettled countryside. Having repeatedly killed human beings, he wears a garland made of fingers. Group of 10, 20, 30, and 40 men had gone along that road, and even they had fallen into Angulimala's hands." When this was said, the Blessed One kept going in silence. A second time, a third time, cowherds, shepherds, and farmers said to the Blessed One, "Don't go along that road, contemplative. Groups of 10, 20, 30, and 40 men have gone along that road, and even they have fallen into Angulimala's hands." When this was said, the Blessed One kept going in silence. Then Angulimala saw the Blessed One coming from afar, and on seeing him, this thought occurred to him, "Isn't it amazing? Isn't it astounding? Groups of 10, 20, 30, and 40 men have gone along this road, and even they have fallen into my hands. And yet now this contemplative comes attacking, as it were alone and without a companion. Why don't I kill him?" So Angulimala, taking up his sword and shield, bucking on his bow and quaver, followed right behind the Blessed One. Then the Blessed One wielded a feat of psychic power such that Angulimala, though running with all his might, could not catch up with the Blessed One, walking at normal pace. Then the thought occurred to Angulimala, "Isn't it amazing? Isn't it astounding? In the past, I've chased and seized even a swift-running elephant, a swift-running horse, a swift-running chariot, a swift-running deer. But now, even though I'm running with all my might, I can't catch up with this contemplative walking at normal pace." So he stopped and called out to the Blessed One, "Stop, contemplative, stop. I have stopped, Angulimala. It is you who haven't stopped." Then the thought occurred to Angulimala, "These Sakyan contemplatives are speakers of the truth, asserters of the truth. And yet this contemplative, even while walking, says, 'I have stopped, Angulimala. It is you who haven't stopped. Why don't I question him?'" So Angulimala, the bandit, addressed this verse to the Blessed One. While walking, contemplative, you say, "I have stopped. But when I have stopped, you say, 'I haven't.' I ask you the meaning of this. How have you stopped? How haven't I?" The Buddha said, "I have stopped, Angulimala, once and for all, having cast off violence towards all living beings. You are still unrestrained towards beings. That's how I stopped, and you haven't." Angulimala replied, "At long last, a greatly revered great seer for my sake has come to the great forest. Having heard your verse in line with the Dhamma, I will also abandon all evil. So saying, the bandit hurled his sword and weapon over a cliff into a pit. Then the bandit paid homage to the feet of the well gone, and right there requested the going forth. The awakened one, the compassionate great seer, the teacher of the world, along with his devas, said to him then, "Come, bhikkhu," that in itself was bhikkhuhood for him. Then the blessed one set out wandering towards Sarvati with Venerable Angulimala as his attendant monk. After wandering by stages, he reached Sarvati, and there he lived near Sarvati in Jetta Grove, Anathapindika Monastery. Now at that time, a large crowd of people, loud and noisy, had gathered at the gates of King Pasanadi Kosala's inner palace, calling out, "There is a bandit in your reign, sire, named Angulimala, brutal, bloody-handed, devoted to killing and slaying, showing no mercy to living beings. He has turned villages into non-villages, town into non-town, settled countryside into unsettled countryside, having repeatedly killed human beings. He wears garland made of fingers. The king must stamp him out." Then King Pasanadi Kosala, with a cavalry of roughly 500 horsemen, drove out of Sarvati and entered the monastery, driving as far as the ground was passable for carriage. He got down from his chariot and went on foot to the Blessed One. On arrival, having bowed down, he sat to one side. As he was sitting there, the Blessed One said to him, "What is it, great king? Has King Saniya Bimbisari of Magadha provoked you? Or have the Dichavis of Vesali or some other hostile king?" No, Lord, King Saniya Bimbisara of Magadha hasn't provoked me, nor has the Lichavis of Vesali, nor has some other hostile king. There is a bandit in my reign, Lord, named Angulimala, brutal, bloody-handed, devoted to killing and slaying, showing no mercy to living beings. He has turned villages into non-villages, town into non-town, settled countryside into unsettled countryside. Having repeatedly killed human beings, he wears a garland made of fingers. I am going to stamp him out. Great king, suppose you were to see Angulimala with his hair and beard shaved off, wearing the robe, having gone forth from the home life into homeless, refrain from killing living beings, refrain from taking what is not given, refraining from telling lies, living the holy life on one meal a day, virtuous and of fine character, what would you do to him? We would bow down to him, Lord, or rise up to greet him, or offer him a seat, or offer him ropes, arms, food, lodging, or medicinal requisites for curing illnesses. Or we would arrange a lawful guard, protection, and defense. But how could there be such virtue and restrain in an unvirtuous, evil character? Now, at that time, Venerable Angulimala was sitting not far from the Blessed One. So the Blessed One, pointing with his right arm, said to King Pasanadi Kosala, "That, great king, is Angulimala." Then King Pasanadi Kosala was frightened, terrified, his hair standing on end. So the Blessed One, sensing the king's fear and hair raising all, said to him, "Don't be afraid, great king, don't be afraid. He poses no danger to you." Then the king fears, his terror, his hair standing on end subside. He ran over to Venerable Angulimala and said, "Are you really Angulimala, Lord?" "Yes, great king. What is your father's clan? What is your mother's clan?" "My father is Gaga, great king, and my mother is Mantani." "Then may Master Gaga Mantani Putta delight in staying here. I will be responsible for your robes, arms, food, lodging, and medicinal requisites for curing illness." Now, it so happened that at that time, Venerable Angulimala was a wilderness dweller, an arms goer, wearing one set of the triple robe made of cast-off cloth. So he said to King Pasanadi Kosala, "Enough, great king, my triple robe is complete." So King Pasanadi Kosala went to the Blessed One, and on arrival, having bowed down, sat to one side. As he was sitting there, he said to the Blessed One, "It's amazing, Lord, it's astounding, how the Blessed One has tamed the untamed, pacified the unpeaceful, and brought through unbinding those who were not unbound. For what we could not tame, even with blunt or bladed weapon, the Blessed One has tamed without blunt or bladed weapon. Now, Lord, we must go. Many are our duties, many our responsibilities." "Then go, great king. What you think it is now time to do?" Then King Pasanadi Kosala got up from his seat, bowed down to the Blessed One, and keeping him on the right, departed. Then Venerable Angulimala, early in the morning, having put on his robe and carrying his outer robe and bow, went to Savati for alms. As he was going from house to house for alms, he saw a woman suffering a beech burr. On seeing her, the thought occurred to him, "How tormented are living beings! How tormented are living beings!" Then, having wandered for alms in Savati and returning from his alms round after his meal, he went to the Blessed One. On arrival, having bowed down to him, he sat to one side. As he was sitting there, he said to the Blessed One, "Just now, Lord, early in the morning, having put on my robes and carrying my outer robe and bow, I went to Savati for alms. As I was going from house to house for alms, I saw a woman suffering a beech burr. On seeing her, the thought occurred to me, how tormented are living beings, how tormented are living beings." "In that case, Angulimala, go to that woman, and on arrival say to her, 'Sister, since I was born, I do not recall intentionally killing a living being. Through this truth, may there be well-being for you, well-being for your fetus.' 'But Lord, wouldn't that be a lie for me? For I have intentionally killed many living beings.' 'Then in that case, Angulimala, go to that woman and on arrival say to her, 'Sister, since I was born in the noble birth, I do not recall intentionally killing a living being. Through this truth, may there be well-being for you, well-being for your fetus.' Responding, 'As you say, Lord,' to the Blessed One, Angulimala ran to that woman and on arrival said to her, 'Sister, since I was born in the noble birth, I do not recall intentionally killing a living being. Through this, may there be well-being for you, well-being for your fetus.' And there was well-being for the woman, well-being for her fetus." Then Venerable Angulimala, dwelling alone, secluded, heedful, ardent, and resolute, in no long time reached and remained in the supreme goal of the holy life, for which clansmen rightly go forth from home into homeless, knowing and realizing it for himself in the here and now. He knew birth is ended, the holy life fulfilled, the task done. There is nothing further for the sake of this world, and thus Venerable Angulimala became another one of the Arahants. Then Venerable Angulimala, early in the morning, having put on his robe and carrying his outer robe and bow, went into Savatthi for alms. Now at that time, a cloth thrown by one person hit Venerable Angulimala on the body. A stone thrown by another person hit him on the body, and a potsherd thrown by still another person hit him on the body. So Venerable Angulimala, his head broken open and dripping with blood, his bow broken and his outer robe ripped to shreds, went to the Blessed One. The Blessed One saw him coming from afar, and on seeing him said to him, "Bear with it, Brahmin, bear with it. The fruit of the karma that would have burned you in hell for many years, many hundred of years, many thousand of years, you are now experiencing in the here and now." Then Venerable Angulimala, having gone alone into seclusion, experienced the bliss of release. At that time, he exclaimed, "Who once was heedless but later is not, brightened the world like the moon set free from a cloud. His evil done deed is replaced with skillfulness. He brightened the world like the moon set free from a cloud. Whatever young monk devotes himself to the Buddha's binding, he brightens the world like the moon set free from a cloud."
Okay, very good. So this Angulimala Sutta is very famous and very interesting. Yeah? Do you realize that life he killed almost 999 people, almost 1,000, and yet he became an Arahant. But karma cannot run because of what he did. So he's supposed to suffer in hell for very long, for many, many lives. But because of the parami and the sincerity when he go forth, and especially when he was able to go forth under the Buddha, means the ordination admitted into the Sangha under the Buddha's attention and guideline. So because of that, the Angulimala story goes this way. He was like creating havoc and like creating horror and fear among the villagers, and everybody don't like him. So because of that, when he went for alms round, he was actually punished by the villagers. So they threw stone and harmed him and hurt him. Then he went back to the Buddha. The Buddha said, "Bear it, bear it." So this one, you listen, "Bear with it, Brahmin, bear with it. The fruit of the karma that would have burned you in hell for many years, many hundred years, many thousand years, you are now experiencing in the here and now." So sometimes you have to understand this is what karma is all about. So sometimes karma you cannot escape, even Arahant, because that one is the last birth. It has to come. So he has to endure. That's why the Buddha say, "Bear it, bear it." Means whatever that you need to endure, you have to endure. Yeah. So even though he became an Arahant, finally, he actually repaid his karmic debt. And that's how the story ends. But what I want to share with you is, A lot of cultivators all the way, they all say, I'm very char, I got no parami and nothing, I cannot, I not like, sometimes they quote me, not like Brother Teo, the past very fantastic. I tell you, Angulimala Q 999 also become Arahan, you go and complain about, your parami no good and all those things. How many have you killed? Not even one. A lot of mosquito. But like they say, one mosquito, oh sorry, you kill one human being, it's like 1 million mosquito. So all this are something that you need to keep in mind. So don't look down upon yourself. No matter what you do, like the famous, it became a Dhammapadamas, the one that was recited just now. After this Angulimala gain release, he recited this, it became a Dhammapadamas, who once was heedless, but later is not, brightened the world like the moon set free from the cloud. Means what? The cloud is the one that obscures the nature, understand? So this one means his evil deed is replaced with skillfulness. So when you have the understanding, when you have the affinity, when you can cultivate, because despite what he did, you ask yourself, how can he meet the Sammasambuddha? And the Sammasambuddha willingly go there and help him, no? It's not he go and appeal to the Buddha and ask the Buddha to help, no. So it's like how Angulimala answer, no? When he was trying to chase after the Buddha, then he realized that this contemplative is different, no? This Sakya contemplative, because he has been killing so many, even the swiftest of the animal or whatever, or chariot, he can easily run up and catch up with them and just finish them off. But the contemplative, he can't. So he decided to actually stop. Then he shouted at the Buddha and said, stop. Then the Buddha replied, I have stopped long ago. You are the one who didn't stop. So he said the contemplative used to speak the truth. How can he lie? So he wanted to question him. But from the way the Buddha answered him, he said, I have stopped killing and causing harm to fellow living beings long, long time ago. But you haven't. You are still killing, running after me, still want to kill me. The moment Angulimala heard this, then he knew, this is a special contemplative being sent to help him. That's why in his own word, I read to you, page 39. Angulimala said, at long last, a great revered, means very well respected, great sheer, for the sick, or for my sick, has come to this great forest, having heard your verse in line with the Dhamma, I will also abandon all evil.
他说他以前是在宅院买哦，也不懂。
I mute 林毅。
Who is it?
林毅枪。
Oh, never mind. Thank you, thank you. I thought an individual, invisible being, spoke. But luckily not Dhamma. We were Angulimala. So because of that, those who had the past parami, when they hear something truth in line with the Dhamma, they actually knew, despite what he has done. Because he, according to the real story, you know why he do this or not? Then he got great respect for his teacher. And that teacher, I think because of jealousy or whatever, want to punish him. Yeah, he, Angulimala was one of the disciples, but he don't like Angulimala, he liked the other one. So go and tell him to go and kill and get the garland. Then you have the 1,000. Then I will teach you how to like develop the enlightenment and all this thing. That's why he go and kill. So actually, you look at this one. Out of respect for your teacher, you follow the instruction. So how is the karma going to be? Killing is still killing, no? You understand not? You cannot run, no? But although it was instructed by your master or teacher and out of respect, you follow that. But due to your own lack of understanding, doesn't free you from that coming, no? But at least he is been like, you call what? Tinghua or Tianhua, a disciple. In English called obedient. Faithful and obedient. He believed and he just do. So because of that, the intention was not he want to kill another. He wants to fulfill what the master asked him to do. So killing got coming, cannot run. But the intention was not evil, understand? It was sincere, out of respect, gratitude, faith and honesty. So because of that, Angulimala actually in the past, he was a cultivator. Then when he heard the wise word from Sakyamuni Buddha, he realized he has gone the wrong path. That's why he immediately abandoned all evil by throwing all those things away. Then he knew the way of following the master to kill is the wrong action, means the wrong practice. So that's how it can happen. Yeah? Okay, continue. Next one is interesting. Pain in the leg during meditation. Tell me, continue.
Page 42, part 3, meditation 3.1. Pain in the legs during meditation. Question 1. While sitting in half lotus for some time, the pain of the leg becomes unbearable. And then when I start to chant, the original pain ceases, but a more severe pain arises in another part of the legs. Why? Brother Chia replied, first, you must understand that meditation, what meditation is, and what are you doing in the name of meditation, your purpose and intent. If you don't have such an understanding, then there is this tendency to react to unpleasant feeling or sensation that arises during meditation by labeling it as pain, which is an aversion or an ill will. And as we all know, ill will is one of the five mental hindrances of the mind that will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace and calm. As such, you are already caught or trapped by it. Because of your dislike towards such unpleasant sensation, your mind will try to do something else like chanting to either suppress it or make it go away. As chanting is just another skillful means to train the mind and it is still within the field of thoughts. Hence, by doing so, you have lost your focus because meditation consists of two steps. 1. The first step is to develop the training of the mind to be constantly aware, leading to the heedfulness. 2. Then the second step is to use the trained mind to meditate or cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path. Understanding this will enable you to just silence your mind and patiently relax your body and mind to allow the sensation to be without any like or dislike for that sensation, because it is the nature of this body to develop that sensation. If you do not know how to relax to enable the qi to flow through the blockage, then sati will take over, and this can result in a shift of consciousness to cease the so-called pain.
Okay, we stop here first. So these are the understanding that you must have. That's why I say you must do the meditation with understanding. You must understand what is the meditation as taught by the Buddha, like I have been stressing all over the last 2-3 days. Heedfulness is most important. Without heedfulness, you cannot meditate. You cannot progress. So when you develop heedfulness, you develop the awareness nature within to have that understanding and stability. Then you use it to cultivate. Means that mind which you have trained to develop the stability of mindfulness, to be heedful, to meditate and cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha. And this one is the Noble Eightfold Path. So what you need to do is when pain arises, just like what Chi Wei went through, sloth and torpor, sleepiness, or what he said as drowsiness, the mind becomes drowsy. So when it arrives, don't fight it, don't resist it, don't develop aversion towards it or dislike towards it. By doing that, you create mental hindrance. You remember? So now it's explained. So if you don't create mental hindrance, you relax into it, maintain awareness, be with it. Awareness is actually sati, without thought, mindful. When there is no more hindrance, what happens? There is nothing to hinder your mind from entering a meditative state. That's why that sati, which you maintain awareness, will go in. Then when sati take over, there will be like a shift in consciousness. Suddenly, the pain flashes through, gone, no more pain. Then the drowsiness flashes through. You realize no more sloth and torpor, no more drowsiness, no more sleepiness. Suddenly the virya come to be. This is how you meditate, okay? Then read on.
So just be aware or mindful always to observe what is going on within your form and mind, and to investigate via mindfulness to understand how the movement of mind from one state to another comes to be. That is to understand how the stirring of the mind comes to be and how the mind can be conditioned into negativity, emotion, selfishness and fear, etc., via delusion upon seeing something or hearing something or thinking of something, etc.
So this one you all understand your senses. That's why I say when you are aware, silent, you can come to understand what happened within, how you function as a human being. Then through that you understand who are you, what are you. Self-knowledge, everything that arises within your form and mind, you observe through the silent mind. You develop understanding, then you see things as they are, then you see how you are conditioned into negativity, how fear arises, how anxiety arises, how all the negative tendency of phobia or this thing arises. So this is meditation. This is not learning Dhamma theory and give instruction, not here, not there. No, this one is develop sati, mindfulness, awareness. Then observe, investigate and find out yourself. If you don't do this, how can you learn? The Buddha says he can only show you the way. You have to walk the path. Means you have to develop heedfulness yourself. The emphasis is very clear. To be heedful and mindful, cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. If you do this, all suffering cease. You will become enlightened. Okay? Yeah, continue, tell me.
Page 44. 3.2. Five ways to overcome negative unwholesome thoughts. The Buddha teaches five ways to overcome negative unwholesome thoughts
that have arisen. This one you must pay attention. This one is very important, especially for those who are new. This is the most important teaching, actually, as far as meditation is concerned. How to overcome or root out unwholesome thought or wrong thought, so that you will not create unnecessary karmic negativity, so that your karmic nature will not be affected, so that you will not lead to karmic downfall. So this five way is also taught by the Buddha, especially the first four, and the key important one, meditative one, is the third and the fourth way. So later on, Tammy will read through, then you try to pay attention to develop the understanding. Because once you understand this, you will know how to meditate, and you will know how to apply the third and fourth way, which is the meditative training, to overcome all your negativity of mind state or wrong thought. Okay? Yeah. So you continue to read, tell me. Then I will come back. I have to go to the washroom. Okay.
1. Think of the direct opposite wholesome thought. For example, if there is anger, then develop metta. And if there is cruelty, then develop compassion. And if there is fear, develop faith. 2. Think of the consequence of holding on to the unwholesome thought or evil roots. If you do not abandon it, then the evil roots, which are the roots of all evil, will condition you to become an evil person. For example, anger can condition one into hatred and violence. An angry person can kill, harm, and abuse others. 3. Relax and maintain awareness via just let things be. This is the meditative way born of understanding that the natural state of mind before its stirring is already in the meditative state of inner peace, calmness, and silent inner awareness. And the flowering of thought is the very ending of that thought. 4. Trace the origination factors of the unwholesome thought and then retrospectively reverse it via the cultivation of mindfulness of Dhamma, Dhammanupassana, via cultivating the mindfulness of the 6 internal and 6 external sense bases. This is to develop the wisdom to free. 5. If all the above 4 ways also cannot help you, then you must use your own self-determination as recommended by the Buddha, that is with clenched teeth and with your tongue towards your palate. You should determine strongly to abandon the negative thoughts.
So this 5 ways to overcome unwholesome thought or negative mind state is very useful and very important. So Tammy has read 2. The first 2, do you realize they are still thought based? The first one is think of the opposite unwholesome thought. That's why you use thought, understand? Thought based. But initially it's good. Like when you have a lot of anger, hatred, then you think of the opposite wholesome thought, metta or karuna, compassion, then your cruelty is gone. Then you wish people well-being and happy. May all beings be well and happy. So when you have metta, you cannot have anger in it. Your one can only have one mind state at a time. So it's a skill for me to think of the opposite wholesome thought to counter the unwholesome thought. So when you radiate the opposite wholesome thought, the unwholesome thought will cease. And this is also what Hui Ning told the disciple. He said, after his passing away, whatever you teach, when people ask you something, you should speak the opposite. But this is still thought-based. That's why he said, think of the opposite wholesome thought. So initially, it's okay, it works. But it will not root out your problem. Well, every time you got anger, you go and think of the opposite wholesome thought. Means temporary. Then number two, think of the consequence. This one will like wake you up. So it's still think, thought-based. But initial skills for me. So like, the think of the consequence of holding on to all these evil roots, the wrong thought, your anger, your hatred, your jealousy, your envy. Why is it dangerous? Because when you are angry, you can kill, you can harm, you can make mistakes. That is the consequence. Your life, your karma, you choose how you want to live your life. You want to take care of karma, you must root out all this wrong thought and evil root. That's why think of the consequence of holding on to this wrong thought is very important. So there is a famous saying, when you really forgive, when you really can forgive, you actually free yourself. Do you understand? I really understand now. I wish to ask for forgiveness from you. That's why the teacher of Sakyamuni Buddha, he taught us how to ask for forgiveness. And Mahayana expanded on it by further moving into from forgiveness to repentance. Repent means what? You will never do it again, understand? Forgive, never say repent. They may forgive. But if you truly forgive, what happened? Means no more enmity with that guy. No more dislike and all those things. Means what? Your hatred towards him, your anger towards him, no more that. You actually free yourself, understand? Don't think that you forgive him. No. Cultivating forgiveness is to free yourself. That's why all these are virtue, gratitude, compassion, contentment, forgiveness, generosity. All these are virtue. When you cultivate them, you develop wholesomeness. You free your mind state from all the negative tendency. Without virtue, you cannot free from the negative tendency. So this is a very important understanding. But the first and second way is still thought-based. We are involved thinking, understand? That's why it's not a permanent solution. It won't root out your evil roots. It won't prevent you from getting angry again or fearful again or developing all the negativity of mind state of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, insecurity, or phobia, scars of memory, all this. They will continue to haunt you. The only way to root it out completely is the third and the fourth way. So the third way is relax and maintain awareness. Means what? The four support, remember I taught you? The first two. Relax and maintain awareness via one. Just let things be. Means don't try to resist what happened. Because what happened is the reality, suchness. Like the Buddha said, condition like that, things will be like that. Whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind. So let's say you're confronted with first noble truth, reality. afflicting you. That reality manifests already. So the Buddha's advice is whatever arises, there are causes and conditions behind. So what are the likely causes and conditions behind? You check the other essential Dhamma. Then you look at the five daily contemplation, the fifth one. Oh, the Buddha said, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of karma. So very likely, it has a lot to do with karma. Understand not? So that is the first right view, Noble Eightfold Path. When I know it's karmic, I shouldn't react foolishly, understand not? Become unhappy, blame God, blame everybody. Then try to revenge or whatever. No. Once you know this is coming, you reap what you sow. Well, in the past, you did all this. Now you become the victim. Fair. So fair. Then, how you act? Right view leading to right thought, right spirit, right action, the Noble Eightfold Path. So the right way to act is to accept the reality so that your mind is peaceful. Well, when you accept, you don't get angry anymore. You don't react and stir your mind. You don't create unnecessary, what they say, fear, worry, anxiety over that problem, like health problem or financial or separation problem, whatever. So once you accept, you become at peace with the reality. Then what happens is that will give you a calm and clear mind to investigate and act. Then you inquire, how can I resolve it amicably? Then how can I, after that, move on with my life? And that is how you should act. So to act that way, you need wisdom, you need understanding. So the Buddha taught us, if it's karmic, first thing you must do is what? Ask for forgiveness, seek repentance. That is the advice of the Buddha. If I ask for forgiveness, means I know this is wrong. I repent, means I will not do it again. So you vow from this moment onward, you will not commit all this negativity or karma again. Then you seek forgiveness. Then the karmic obstruction weakens. And then there is condition for you to actually recovered from it. If the karmic obstruction is still there, nobody can help you. Whatever you do in the use, somehow the karmic obstruction will come in and obstruct you and give you problem. So what happens is when you ask for forgiveness, the nature's law actually develops its own movement and bring forth the causes and conditions for you to have the condition to seek help and recover. So you're supposed to do what you have to do. Ask for forgiveness, vow not to repeat all this, by following the advice of the Buddha. The advice of the Buddha is to avoid all evil, keep your precept, then cultivate wholesomeness wherever possible, follow Noble Eightfold Path. Then after that, purify your mind to develop wisdom, not to be deluded and afflicted. Now this is what you must do. When you follow the advice of the Buddha and do all this, keep your precept, follow Noble Eightfold Path, then meditate, purify your mind, develop the right view and all that. Then it will bring forth great merits, understand? A lot of wholesomeness. But you need to do for a period of time for new people, at least 3 months or 1. Then after that, you invoke power of merits. By the power of this merit, or sincerity, like Angulimala. Ever since he has taken birth in the noble life, means after he has ordained and become a monk, he has not violated that precept. So he invoked that power. By this truth, may the mother and the fetus be properly born into this world. So may no harm come to them. May they have a smooth and good mind. That's why the Angulimala Sutta becomes so famous. When you got problem with birth, you recite Angulimala Sutta. So these are the understanding, okay? So when you invoke power of merit, by the power of this merit, instead of aspiring for enlightenment by avoiding all the foolish and heedless, you can modify it. By the power of this merit that I have cultivated since the day I asked for repentance, or since the day I started my cultivation with this understanding, may it arise the causes and conditions for me to recover from my health problem, understand, or my financial problem, or whatever problem. Then, without you realizing it, you do it correctly, sincerely, somehow the causes and conditions will arise, and all these things get resolved. It gets resolved by itself. That's why a lot of things that happen in life, you cannot understand. So this understanding is very important. So relax and maintain awareness. We are just let things be, don't react. So this is the meditative way, born of understanding that the natural state of mind before it's stirring is always the meditative mind or inner peace, calmness, and silent inner awareness. And the flowering of thought is the very ending of that thought. You know what is the flowering of thought? Like the flower. When it blooms and flower until it's most beautiful, fragrant, you buy, you put on the altar, then what happens? It cannot flower anymore. Then what happens? Decay, wither off, that's all. That is the nature's process. So all this negative mind, you know, is all dependent originating. Due to your wrong view, you react and stir. We are in the mindfulness, you saw, understand? Then you know anger not you, fear not you. So what must you do? When they arise, don't be afraid of that. Don't go and suppress and push them away. Confront it. Be with it. And that is aware, understand? When your thought recall later, that is not awareness. That is the thought recall that you were angry earlier on. But when the anger arrives at that moment, try it. Be aware, silence your mind, stay with it. Like you and the body as one. That emotion that arises, which is fear or anger, you stay with it, you find out what happened. Because that pure awareness, sati or mindfulness, that stay with it, got no thought. It does not feed it with any further thinking. That's why the anger cannot develop. The fear cannot develop. Then it subsides. Understand? The moment it subsides, you like awaken. Then straight away you feel the peace within your heart area, the original mind, tranquility, stillness, peace. I did it in 1988. That's why 89, I rooted it out and clear all those things. So that time I remember that movement inside was so strong because that emotion. It was like the anger at that time, it arise. Then I stay with it. Then I realize it ceased. Then there was a lot of understanding of the joy, that this is not me. Dependent originating, condition arising, causal. Then my true mind has none of all this. These are byproduct of my true mind. When I sense something through my senses, it conditioned me to act and stir through my views, opinion, conditioning, memory, insecurity, belief system, all this. That's what I saw in the memory, all this rubbish. Then because of that, you become what you are. You become angry, emotional, fearful, and all these things. Then when I did this, it like awakened me. The awareness, sati, that's like the power of mindfulness awakened me. To bring forth this clear understanding that all this mind state, feeling that has become craving, my emotion, negative emotion especially, my fear, my worry, my anxiety, my anger, and all this. So when it ceases, means the anatta nature, the non-self nature, the impermanent nature, you straight away realize. Then you know they are all dependent originating. They are not intrinsic within our true mind. Our true mind got none of all this. That's why when you are with the awareness nature, your wisdom becomes different. You got no fear. Anything happen, you stay here. This one is a deathless element. The only thing that can get into trouble is the physical. And the consciousness, when it's no longer able to stay in, it will leave. So even at moment of death or what, no problem. Those who have the Dhamma, no problem. Understand? Like I told you, when I experienced that, within there, that thing surface, then I can tell myself, inside there empty, here no you, here no me, nothing. So form and mind die, what is it? I can just die any moment. It will not affect me at all. The mind will not go and create the deluded thought, the fear that I have not hand over, I have not done up this or that, that I have unfinished. No such worry on. We have no reality. Empty nature existence. So when you penetrate through emptiness, when you awaken, your wisdom becomes different. Okay? So this is how you meditate. So you aware, stay with it until that emotion cease. The very flowering of thought is the very ending of that thought. Remember that. Then the fourth way is to develop the wisdom. Otherwise, every time you get anger or fear, you have to look for a quiet place to go and meditate. Then the fear no more. But do you have the wisdom? Unless you have your past training, like me, after the third way, I already knew what happened. So I don't really have to do the fourth way. But the fourth way is important for you all, where you all haven't done it. So the fourth way is, to the Buddha say, to trace the origination factor of the unwholesome thought. How did anger come to be? How did fear come to be? How did the emotion of worry, anxiety come to be? The insecurity. So when you silence your mind, like the Satipatthana Sutta Dhammanupassana, first category of practice, within that silence, the awareness nature, you can observe, you will know. Then you can recollect or recall how fear arise. Before fear arise, there was no fear. Then how did fear arise? It's normally from that three sense of. Either you see somebody you don't like, you have phobia, then recall to memory, also that phobia, that fear arise. So either through seeing or through hearing or through the thought process, it trigger. Because smell and taste will not create fear. At the most, it creates dislike. You don't like the food. So hearing, seeing, and the memory, recalling, is the one that trigger. So it's through one of your sense door, understand? Then when you know this originating factor, then you inquire, why did I stir? Why did I stir? What else can I do? You want to develop the wisdom to retrospectively reverse all this. Because of memory, isn't it? Your conditioning, isn't it? Your phobia and all this, then you react and you stir and fear arise. So how to stop fear? You must have the wisdom in it. The Buddha say what? Learn to see things as they are. Understand? So when you learn to see things as they are, like I share with you all, the world is the world. Condition like that, things will be like that. It can never be otherwise. Still, because of my accumulated memory, my conditioning, my belief system, I'm deluded, I react, I stir, I develop fear. Who fear? What fear? Why must one fear? It's the thought that is deluded, fear. The nature got no thought, there is nothing to fear. That's why you stay here. Everything subsides, cease. So when you understand, like what I share with you, that wisdom path, see things as they are. The world is the world. People are just the way they are. Understand not? Then whatever arise, there are causes and conditions. Why should I fear? This is a reality. I accept it. I observe it. I stay with it. Like the dog, let's say, it want to attack you. Very fierce. Or snake or whatever. Why should you fear? Develop mindfulness, awareness, silent, and look at it. Because this animal, they can sense your fear. When you have fear, they attack you. They chase you and do all those things. But when you have no fear, you look at them, they just move away. That is how you overcome all this. So seeing things as they are is the wisdom. So you retrospectively, through this understanding, you straighten your view. Then the moment you see, hear, or recall something again, you will not react and stir like before. Where this wisdom will prompt you, yoniso manasikara. And this one will tell you the Dhamma. The world is the world. People are just the way they are. Conditioned like that, things be like that. Cannot be otherwise. This is suchness, tatata, the reality. So once you have this type of understanding, the fourth way, you no longer have to, like every time got problem, go somewhere, meditate to cease it. No need. There and then, that's why the four right effort got the first right effort, second right effort. The first right effort is third way. When you already aware that it has a reason, you want to arise the right effort to abandon it. How you abandon it? Third way, stay with it, let it cease. Understand now? Then normal cultivator can do that, they will develop the wisdom already. But if you can't, then do the satipatthana under dhammanupassana, the third category of practice that the Buddha say, mindful of what? The internal six sense bases and the external six sense bases. Mindfulness of that. When you are mindful of your internal six sense bases, means your six sense now, then the external six sense bases, means the external form, how they come in, make contact and trigger off all this. That is mindfulness. Then you see the paticca-samuppada, how you stir your mind, how you become angry, how you become fearful. This is how you observe with the silent mind. You cannot go and think, understand? It won't give you wisdom. It gives you knowledge, but you cannot act, cannot do. But when you observe it through the mindfulness, the awareness, then you develop this penetrative insight and wisdom. Then you realize anger was never me, fear was never me. Then who fear? What fear? The thought fear. Then why you stay at the memory here, which is full of rubbish and the thought? You stay with your awareness, no thought, nothing fear. Then you can have the Dhamma to prompt you, the unisopmana. That's how you free your mind, liberate your mind. Okay? So that's it. The fifth way, forget about it. That one is, the Buddha said, all the four he teach you, so you cannot apply. So you have yourself. You know what he suggests or not? You must use your self-determination. With clenched teeth and with tongue pointing against the palate, you should determine strongly to abandon the wrong thought. So all this is
same, yeah, we can
哦，偶实牙根啊，偶实牙根啊，加了牙根啊，哦，加牙啊 ，determined to free。Okay, next one, Tammy.
Page 45, Seven Heart Sutra Class, Part 1.1. What is meditation?Buddha Thiel re-emphasizes the importance of understanding the following. 1. What is meditation? So that we understand what we are doing in the name of, of meditation, and this will keep us always in focus. 2. There are two steps involved in the development of meditation as taught by the Buddha. A. First step is to train the mind to be heedfulvia using a skillful means or an object of meditation to anchor the mind in awareness or mindfulness so that the mind is relaxed, aware, silent and mindful within. B. Second step is to make use of this trained mind in silent awareness to see things as they are, to develop the meditation as taught by the Buddha.Namely, the cultivation of the daily mindfulness or sati, sati sampajana, the four foundations of mindfulness, the three turnings of the four noble truths, and the noble eightfold path. 3. The aim of meditation is to realize the state of enlightenment that is beyond thought and beyond time, physiological time.
Psychological.
Psychological time, because the Dharma is timeless or akaliko in Pali. 4. Thought-based meditation is limited to the field of thoughts. Hence, it cannot free our mind or lead it to realize a state that is beyond thought and beyond time. Because the moment of thought is psychological time.
Psychological time.
5. Diligently cultivate the five spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya to overcome the five hindrances of mind, of sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, for sleepy or lethargic mind, restlessness of mind, and doubt.
Okay, so now you understand all this that I have been sharing. What you need to understand is this part. The psychological time. Thought-based meditation is limited because it is within the field of thought. Sense is cannot free the mind because when your instrument is thought, it will limit you.Then you cannot realize the enlightenment, the Dhamma, which is beyond thought, beyond mind. That's why you need awareness. Then the other thing is, the moment of thought is psychological time. Do you know the meaning or not? There are two types of time. One is physical time that scientists use. They create the...time based on the definition means our earth planet when you go one round against the sun 24 hours then you go one round completely against the sun to reach back the point you are that is 1 year it's equal to 365 1/4 days.So scientists know, so that's why they created the calendar. That is physical time. Physical time you cannot change. There is a measurement, understand? But when we are dealing with spiritual teaching, we are talking about psychological time. Psychological time means what? When you create thinking, thought process, the moment of thought process is psychological time. Means psychologically,You exist, understand now? Means all these thought moments, you know, see? But when you are without thought, Then your true mind awareness nature, what happened? You don't think, yeah. Is there any psychological time? There is a timeless, you understand or not? That's why that one also can cease. Then you realize Nibbana. That's why the first to come out is the pure awareness, your true mind. When you are there, you don't think. There is no psychological time. That's why it's like you rested. Like your mind forever young. You won't grow old. You didn't create thought. The aging comes from the thought process, understand? No? That's why they say when your the saying is physically you may appear old, understand? No? But mentally, you may not be that old. And some people say, lang lao, ren lao, xin bu lao. So that one got another meaning. No? Don't get that wrong. That is not a cultivator. No? Means that fellow qi hiao, old already, still think of those things. Whereas the cultivator, ren lao, xin bu lao, is because physically he may appear old, but he didn't use the mental so much, understand? No? The thinking, the stress and all things, the mind is free, beautiful. That's why the mind is very young, very pristine, ever tranquil, still. And most of the time, they experience the mind state of a bodhisattva, which is in the Wu Liang Yi Jing, the Sutra of Infinite Meaning, you can read. The virtue of bodhisattva, the mind state of bodhisattva, is always tranquility, stillness, awareness, peace. So all this, when you develop awareness-based meditation, you can develop the understanding. Otherwise, thought-based, you cannot understand, no way. So what is psychological time? You don't know, because all the time you are lost in thought, creating thought non-stop, and you never experience a state, a free mind without thought. That's why that free mind without thought, which can be a pure thought, can be so powerful, so wholesome, so full of merits. Okay, exactly 12 o'clock, we stop. I think you all can get ready, pay respect, and we slowly, mindfully walk down and have our lunch. Okay, so sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay.
Every day, lunchtime, clean, sweep the house.
So, okay, you have to clear your cushion, just do it, then after that, go down.